Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You know, I got to give credit, actually, to start this hour to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. Because Hickey, before the start of the season, he had a take that the Pac-12 is the preeminent conference this year in college football. And after 2 or 3 weeks of the college football season, he's looking to be right. Now, here's what I'll say about the Pac-12. I don't know how many losses the Pac-12 champion is going to have, and that's a concern because we all knew how good the Pac-12 was, or how promising the Pac-12 could be. But the Pac-12's biggest problem is that whenever you really start to fall in love with one of the teams, they end up losing a game that they shouldn't lose. Like years ago, Oregon was that team, and Oregon looked like they had a good road to get to the college football playoff, and then they lost the game that they shouldn't have. So that's still my one concern here, Hickey, about the Pac-12. Where when you look at from top to bottom, yes, for this year and this year only right now, this is not, you know, because all these teams are leaving the conference. I can't sit here and tell you they're the best conference in college football for the next 5 years. But right now, this is the strongest conference in college football. And there's so many big name quarterbacks where I almost want to say whoever wins the Pac-12, if you're going to scale it properly, should get a spot in the college football playoff. But that continues to be my biggest fear, that the winner of the Pac-12 may have two losses. And if that's the case, it may not be good enough because you never know what the standard is from the College Football Playoff Committee to be one of those four teams remaining.
This is where having humans and hopefully, I know this is going to be tough here, hopefully having common sense prevails. Where, yes, we've never seen a two-loss team get into the College Football Playoff. There is, look, Alabama last year was close. We saw LSU, maybe if they beat Georgia in the SEC title game last year, maybe they would have gotten in. Like, it's not like it's been outrageous that a two-loss team, like, it's like they've never even not even been in the conversation. And so I really hope that if you are on the committee this year and it happens where whoever it is, USC, Oregon, Washington, you name it, Colorado, hell, let's throw them in there.
The Utes.
They're 11-2. You hope common sense prevails and you say, okay, who they lose to, probably ranked team. How many ranked teams do they beat? And let's take that into effect instead of just looking at the record and say, oh, two losses, they're out.
What am I waving at you right now?
Glasses?
Yep. I can't tell that these are glasses?
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't sure why you're waving glasses. That's all.
What does the committee always say?
Eye test.
Oh, the eye test. This team doesn't pass the eye test. Well, if your eyes can't tell you that the winner of the Pac-12 this year should be in the college football playoff, I need to know what chart you're reading. Because absolutely, whoever wins the Pac-12 this year, without even knowing what their record's going to be, should be in the college football playoff. Like, you just look at this conference. You have Caleb Williams at USC. You have Cam Rising, who's not even back yet at Utah. They're still 2-0 after beating Florida and Baylor. You got Michael Penix Jr., who everyone was saying he should have been a Heisman Trophy finalist last year. You got Shedeur Sanders right now, who's the rock star of college football. You got Bo Nix, who has been sensational in the second chapter at Oregon after what was a very up and down, more so down tenure at Auburn. DJ Uiagalelei's done a nice job at Oregon State. And I could go on and on and on. You have 8 teams right now in the top 25, in the AP top 25 in the Pac-12. And that's another crazy thing here, Hickey. This conference is dead. This conference is finished at the end of the year. And I know money drives the train, and the Pac-12 had a crappy streaming deal and all of that. But it kind of sucks with the rivalries, with the geographic location and proximity, and how good this conference is this year, that this will be the final installment of the Pac-12 as we knew it, with all these schools leaving and fleeing the Pac-12 to go to greener pastures, I guess you could say, with the Big Ten, the Big 12, and all that jazz. But it stinks because the last chapter of the Pac-12 this year is going to be spectacular.
I agree, and unfortunately, it's classic Pac-12 where it's too little, too late, always kind of the last one at the party, and now going to be, the first to leave, if you will.
If I had to ask you right now, the top five quarterbacks in the Pac-12, how would you rank them? Hickey, who would be your top five in the Pac-12 right now with it currently constructed?
I would say Caleb Williams, one.
Obvious.
Probably because of the, not that they've played that much better competition. I will say Shedeur Sanders, two. Michael Penix Jr., three. But it's kind of like a 2 and 2A because they've both been tremendous.
Now, time out. I thought you would have for sure have gone with Michael Penix Jr., two, just because he did it last year up against the big-time opponents where, you know, it was great what Deion and his son did at an HBCU school at Jackson State, but Michael Penix was being talked about last year as a Heisman Trophy finalist. That's why I was a little bit surprised there, because you've been a downer and you've been a non-believer, as my guy Coach Prime would say, about this Colorado program. But when you watch Shedeur Sanders, you knew he was going to be good. The question, though, was he going to be great? He's already put himself in a conversation of being a top 10 draft pick next year. Like, that's how lethal this dude has been. We're going into the year, it was Caleb Williams one, Drake May two, and then we'll see who's going to be the third quarterback taken. Shedeur Sanders kind of making a case where there's going to be a conversation after Caleb Williams who's going to be the second quarterback off the board. He could challenge Drake May here. And I have high expectations for Drake May as well. It's kind of been nuts how quickly Shedeur has taken college football by storm.
It is. It's impressive. Again, I didn't really see it coming, to be honest. Again, I've been a Colorado doubter so far and thought they're going to go 0-2, and so far they're 2-0. Now, again, I'm being realistic here. Long way to go. You torture TCU defense. That's very bad. And you beat a bad Nebraska team. Not saying that they were bad in the game. They were, and Shedeur was, and everyone else was tremendous. But way to go.
They were slow starting against Nebraska.
They weren't. And he finished almost 400 yards passing, which is incredible.
Which is video
opened
game
it up more
life.
In the second half. But yes, so it's Oregon, tough defense in a few weeks. Then you'll really start to put your name out there for Heisman and draft consideration when you do it against a legit defense and opponent in Oregon.
Well, Nebraska does have a legit defense. That Nebraska defense is good. They've been good the last 2 weeks. It's just Jeff Sims can't get out of his own way, and he's been just a walking turnover machine. But if Shedeur Sanders is, I'll say, not a first-round pick next year, I would be stunned. I really would be stunned at this rate with how he sees the field, the way he extends the plays, the big arm, with how athletic he's been. I would be really surprised. If that's not a first-round quarterback, then I don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks, and I don't know what is a first-round quarterback. But let me ask you this, though. Because after week one, you were on this show saying Nebraska was going to beat Colorado. You were wrong on that. We found out last night, just because Hickey puts a record out there about the team doesn't always equal up to the win and loss when you go into the schedule. Can you just entertain me here for a second? Because before the start of the season, I don't remember what you said, but the over-under was 3.5. For Colorado, were you taking the over or the under before the start of the season?
No, I would have taken the over, but I think it would be like 4 or 5 wins. I didn't think they were going to get to even to 6.
So they're 2-0 right now. They play Colorado State this weekend.
Win, 3-0.
At Oregon.
Loss.
USC.
Loss.
Telling you. USC. Coach Prime's coming. He's coming. At Arizona State.
Win.
Okay. Stanford.
Win.
That's 5 right there. We're talking 5 wins, and we're not even Halloween yet. On Halloween, Halloween weekend, October 28th at UCLA.
Loss. UCLA's good.
Oregon State.
Loss.
Ooh.
Oregon State's got a great defense.
I'm just saying.
Physical, you know, physical, I should say.
I would think they would split between UCLA and Oregon State. I don't think they'll win both, but I think they'll split. Arizona.
Win, but I'll say shootout.
Really?
Some high
scoring. Skepticism there. Washington State, that's at Washington State.
Loss.
Tough place. And then at Utah.
Loss.
So you have them at 6 wins, and that's really with no upsets. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to be the dog in all these games, but going into the year, people thought Oregon was better, USC was better, UCLA was better, Oregon State, Washington State, Utah. And that's what I got to think they're going to have an upset somewhere there in one of those games, if not two of those games. You know, before the year, I said 5 wins. I'm starting to think that it's going to be like, you know, let me do the exercise right here. Colorado State, keep track of the wins here, Hickey. Do the finger counting for me. That's a win. At Oregon, loss. USC, that's a win for me. At Arizona State, that's a win. Stanford, that's a win. UCLA and Oregon State, they'll split those games. So let's just say they'll beat UCLA and they'll lose to Oregon State. Arizona, that's a win. And then I would agree. I think they lose to Washington State and they lose to Utah. How many did I get there?
Eight. Eight
that's
and four.
Eight wins. Is Coach Prime the coach of Colorado next year? If they get 8 wins, is he coaching Colorado? I don't. Next time we have him on, I want to ask about the NFL. Because people are going to start throwing out the NFL. I can't say this with certainty, but just like the feel of the situation, I'd be surprised if he's coaching in the NFL. I do really think he loves coaching college football. But if he wins 8 games this year at Colorado, is he back next year at Colorado? Especially if his son declares for the draft, right? And Travis Hunter, I think he's draft eligible, right? At the end of this year?
I thought he's a sophomore. I got to double check. I think
okay.
He has 1 more year, but let me double check.
Yeah, but that's fine. But even so, do you think he is back next year at Colorado if I'm right that they get to 8 wins?
Yes, I do.
Do you think he's there after 2 years?
See how year two goes.
Travis Hunter is a sophomore.
So 1 more year.
Yeah,
there,
so he needs
yeah.
1 more year. So you know what? Maybe because of how close he is with Travis, he stays at Colorado for another year. And then he's there for 2 seasons, but he's going to eventually get a big-time job in college football. And I told you that last year. If I was Auburn, I'm not saying Hugh Freeze is going to be a bad coach for them. We know if Hugh Freeze could just get out of his own way off the field, Hugh Freeze could be a really good college football coach. We're now in an era of name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. That's the name of the game. And I got to think, with even what he's shown so far in the first 2 games, where look how many people. You have McAfee there this weekend for Colorado State. You got First Take going out there. You got College Game Day. You have Big Noon Kickoff as well, I believe, going out there too. You have all these shows emanating from Colorado. Where last year there's a program that had 1 win and you had to beg people to go to games. Just off the salesperson that Deion Sanders is, there's no doubt about it that in maybe as early as next offseason, but I would say that he stays 2 years at Colorado, that there's going to be a big-time program and a big-time conference, that, and I know they're going to the Big 12, that is going to come calling for the services of Coach Prime.
I mean, now with NIL, transfer portal,
why not?
You're Deion, why not do what Dabo Sweeney did at Clemson? Stay. Build an empire. Win the Big 12 every year.
Because you'll have more resources at some of these other schools.
Well, Clemson was little old Clemson until Dabo got there and they won 2 national titles and went to 2 other ones, right?
But you just said it. Little old Dabo. This is Coach Prime. He ain't little old Coach Prime.
I just wonder if more pride, anything else. Like, you come in there and you own it, and if you keep on winning and you build it, like, you know, say, right, if you build it, they will come. If he builds a monster, again, with the transfer portal, you can build it pretty fast here. If you're talking about a 10, 11, 12 win team next year, 2 years from now,
that's not likely, though.
You can rev up the engine and you can sit there for a while and be top of the mountain in the Big 12 and top of the mountain in college football.
So you're going from a logic standpoint, but when you have a coach who, I guess you could say in this case, it's weird to say he's young and up and coming, but that's what Deion Sanders now is. In college football, he is that next big-time flavor, that big hot name in the coaching circle at a smaller school right now. You rarely see those coaches stay. Rarely do. I know this is one-on-one. I know this is a different situation. But if you're telling me, I don't know, like LSU opens in a few years, if the Brian Kelly situation is a disaster, imagine him at Texas A&M. Imagine him. Hey, like, with all those resources that Jimbo has right now, I'm just saying, I would be surprised if he's at Colorado for the long term. I would be. But anyway, back to the root of this conversation, your Pac-12 quarterback rankings, you fired off. One was Caleb Williams, two was Shedeur Sanders, three was Michael Penix Jr. Where do you go 4 and 5?
So this is, for me, again, more about 2023 than like overall. So I'll go DJ Uiagalelei 4 and Bo Nix 5.
Wow.
But very close.
How do you put DJ Uiagalelei in front of Bo Nix? I don't see that one.
Well, like what I've seen so far from DJ. Good quarterback, comfortable, dual threat.
More though than what you've seen from Bo, knowing what Bo did last year?
Well, again, I'm looking more 2023, like I said, than like overall body of work. If we're getting the body of work, we can put Bo Nix 4. But I think also, honestly, 1 through 5, I think we're truly like nitpicking here in terms of different orders.
Yeah, so right now, I would not put DJ Uiagalelei in the top 5 yet. And I know he has not played yet, and we'll see if he's going to play this weekend. But when Cam Rising is on the field, I think Cam Rising is going to be a top 5 quarterback in the Pac-12. I don't think he exceeds Shedeur. I don't think he exceeds Caleb Williams nor Michael Penix Jr., but this is a guy that's won the Pac-12 the last 2 seasons as the quarterback of the Utah Utes. By the way, we had Coach Kyle Whittingham on yesterday, and I just want to replay a minute chunk of this conversation talking about how the Pac-12 is coming to a close when you have 8 teams in the top 25. When you look at the conference, there is no tougher conference right now football-wise in college football. You guys have 8 teams this year in the top 25. We know everybody's leaving, including your school, and it's been a mass exodus. Do you all just sit there with how long you've been a part of this game? You know that everyone's following the money, but you go, there's 8 teams in the top 25 from the Pac-12, and the Pac-12's going away.
I know. There's a certain sadness to that, I guess you could say. I mean, the Pac-12 has been around so long and had such a prominent place in college football, and to see it just dissolve, I mean, it's almost surreal to see it happening. But mark my words, there's a lot more change that's going to happen, and a lot more shifting. And the landscape of college football is not done. Making its moves, and you're going to see super conferences in the not too distant future, and with that is going to come some pretty significant changes, and so get used to it, I guess what I'm saying, because nothing is settled. It's far from being settled right now.
And he's 100% right, but it just stinks when you have the Pac-12 right now humming with 8 teams in the AP top 25 that this conference is basically dead after this season. You could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. PomPom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use PomPom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at PomPomAtHome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. One of the dear friends of Aaron Rodgers and former NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champ A.J. Hawk, says Aaron Rodgers hasn't thought about his future yet, this courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
I think he's all right. You know, I mean, I would imagine he's a bit shocked by the whole situation, trying to figure it out. But okay. I would assume it takes some time to kind of figure out what you're going to do next and where you're even, you know, what the next step might even be.
So I think there's initial shock right now. And then eventually you're going to start to think to yourself, how do I get back up from being knocked down on the mat that you're currently lying on? Rodgers did release a statement, though, today that said, thank you to every person that has reached out, called, texted, DM, connected through a friend. It has meant a ton to me, and I'll try and get back to you all soon. I'm completely heartbroken and moving through all the emotions, but deeply touched and humbled by the support and love. Please keep me in your thoughts and prayers as I begin the healing process today. The night is the darkest before the dawn, and I shall rise yet again. Proud of my guys, 1-0. I think Rodgers will be back next year. I think he's going to play football. How much longer after that will he play? I don't know, but I would be shocked if next year Aaron Rodgers not back in a Jets uniform. Robert Saleh also says that he doesn't anticipate Aaron Rodgers retiring after this season.
I mean, I'd be shocked if this is the way he's going to go out. But at the same time, for him, he's working through a whole lot of headspace things that he needs to deal with, and that will be the last thing I talk to him about.
And Robert Saleh says adding a new QB isn't a quick fix.
Zach and Tim, those are our guys. They've been here from OTAs, all the nuance. You know, it's not Madden, so just plugging and playing a quarterback, it's going to take time, whoever comes in this building, to figure out what we've done over the last 6-7 months.
Did you see who the new quarterback's going to be for the Jets, Hickey?
Is that according to a certain talk show host at WFAN?
Yes, someone that used to be a coworker of ours here on the CBS Sports Radio Network.
It is our very own Pat Boyle, right? He's going to come on in and lead the Jets to the playoffs.
Yeah, so Brandon Tierney used to host Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio, tweeted out today. I'm rolling with Zach. Jets will be a playoff team, but legit names to watch. Matt Ryan, McCoy, Rush, and Foles. Also internally, Pat Boyle is very well liked and respected. Keep that in mind. So I responded to this tweet. There's a photo. You know Badlands Booker, the competitive eater?
Of course.
There's a photo of me at Mraz's house or his parents' house for the Bob's Bar show on the DA show where Boyle's in the middle of yours truly, who is a large man, and then Badlands Booker, who's a very large man. And I responded to it, I'm concerned about Pat Boyle partying too much to be QB1, but I will say at this rate, the Jets should also sign myself and Badlands Booker to protect Pat on the offensive line. So look at Pat Boyle. Goes from auditioning to be the next producer of the DA show to now going to be the starting quarterback potentially of the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets.
And good for the Jets timing-wise because Pat is also Mr. Tennis. He probably would have missed week 1 if it was a Sunday to watch the men's final. So now at least that the U.S. Open is complete, now his full attention can be on football, and I'm sure if he's playing on Sunday in Dallas, he'll be locked into the game plan.
You probably have to be happiest by this news.
Why is that?
Well, some have said that Pat Boyle's the front runner to be the next producer of the DA show. If Pat's now out because he had to be the quarterback of the Jets, you have applied for that producer position as well. I guess you're as good as gone on this show. I would think you're number two on that depth chart in that ranking.
I guess you didn't see Adam Schefter's most recent tweet.
Which was?
Oh, awkward. I have to say this. I was hoping Schefter's going to do my dirty work for me. The Kansas City Chiefs have signed me as a receiver. So Pat Boyle is going to be quarterback for the Jets, and I'm now going to go save Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense Sunday in Jacksonville by being a receiver and beating, also helping the Colts out, beating division foe, but now catching passes and being unlike Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore.
Well, I'm not that concerned. You'll be back here in a week because of how many finger injuries that you've had recently, where you've had to wear splints and you've had to tape your fingers together.
One splint.
What? You still wore it because you were swimming and slammed your hand too hard in the cement of the pool. All I'm going to say is one Patrick Mahomes catch that you have to make on a pass that he throws, that finger will be right back here pushing these buttons.
Well, look, this is what I'll say. Yes, I have had finger injuries before, but just like I will take to my new job with the Chiefs, I had here, I did not miss a day. I may be hurt, but I'm not injured, and I don't miss a day of work because of injury. So I'll be on the field, broken finger, dislocated finger and all, just like I was here with a dislocated finger pushing buttons for the show.
Well, are you going to join me then for lunch in Kansas City when I'm there at the end of the month in February before I make the trek out to Nebraska?
I might have to be.
Yeah, I'm flying into Kansas City today. I made the Jackstack reservation, Jackstacks, for our delicious BBQ lunch. Land at 11 a.m. Central. Going to get there by noon and then drive to Lincoln, Nebraska.
I don't know how I'm going to play well on Sunday if I don't have a nice stomach full of
baked
pork,
beans, cheesy corn, wings,
barbecue. Ready to go.
Burnt ends. Salivating just at the thought of
it. The carrot cake cupcake was very solid. I give him credit.
Look what happens. Hickey tries something and then he goes, oh, it's pretty good. So you're going to be the next wide receiver for the Chiefs?
That's right.
All right, good. We'll actually have some highlights of you playing in an NFL game instead of seeing that crappy video of you in the backyard catching a pass. And
sharp route. Nice catch. You see the spin move on the stanchion, too?
You know what?
Man, I juked the shoes off.
What,
of that
the trash can? You juke?
No, it was like a security thing, but yes.
If I'm being fully honest with you, I thought the route was a little clunky. I thought the route was not a great route. I thought the catch was impressive, but I thought you running, it was looked a little like a skinny duck, if I'm being honest.
Well, you lull them to sleep. You know, that's part of, it's kind of like Tyreek Hill. You watch Tyreek Hill run routes, they're not exactly the sharpest, but you bend and you kind of lean one way to get them thinking one way, and boom!
I didn't think you were clumsy, but you're starting to sound clumsy with all these injuries and the way that I did see you running. Here is Ryan Kelly saying that every NFL player feels worse after playing on artificial turf.
I mean, if you look at World Cup soccer, those guys as a union, they said they were not going to play on turf, and it's for a good reason. I think if you polled every player in the NFL, no one feels good if they play a game on turf, right? Like, you practice on grass every day, turn around, play the game on turf, and you can say what you want about the Rodgers injury and a lot of injuries, and I do think that guys feel like dog after they play on turf.
Ryan Kelly also asked how changes can be made to get rid of turf.
If they can change the turf out for major league players to come in and play a soccer game on one time, that you're losing a ton of money with Aaron Rodgers not being on in the field. So, I don't know. I think it's a tough call either way, but I just think that, I think majority of the NFL teams practice on grass, and then the ones that play on turf, it kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit.
So I heard Roger Goodell earlier this morning on First Take with Stephen A. in a rare interview that Roger Goodell does, and he goes, there are players that love playing on grass. Like, we hear from both sides of this. You know what's weird to me, though, Hickey? We never hear a player, when there's an injury, speak up and say, no, I'm actually a grass guy. I'm not a turf guy. I'm a big-time proponent of grass. You never hear from people really advocating for the grass.
We just heard Ryan Kelly advocate for the grass.
Oh, sorry. The other way.
The artificial turf.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And that's, I think, a large point, too. I know Albert Breer's tweeting this and a lot of other people as well, especially after Monday night and the aftermath where there's a thought of, did the turf cost Aaron Rodgers the injury? You're right. There's never anyone on the record that goes out of the way and says, I love artificial turf. Give me more turf.
Never hear it.
It's only one way. Like I said, it's grass. And Ryan Kelly makes a good point, too. Every team's practice facility is grass.
And everyone keeps on saying how they want to play on grass and how much they love grass is what I meant to say. But you're 1,000% right. No one ever says, what about the turf? What about the turf? What about the turf? But according to Goodell, people love playing on turf and people love playing on grass.
I would love to know who he's talking to. You know, it's weird. He doesn't name any names. Can't Patrick Mahomes, he told me he loves turf. Name some names then, Roger, of people you talk to that love the artificial turf, that push for it.
And all these reporters today are going into locker rooms like, we're playing a cut from Ryan Kelly, if we're being real here. And all these players are getting asked these questions, and I have not heard one player be a big-time proponent of turf. Here is Chris Jones now back in the building as they adjust his contract, I guess is the right way to say it. And he says his goal is to play his entire career for the Kansas City. How about them Chiefs?
Hopefully we can get something worked out after the year for long term. I reiterated multiple times. I plan to play for the Kansas City Chiefs for the long haul of my career. That doesn't change because of this, the past situation.
Does he get slapped with the franchise tag after this year?
Oof. I mean,
if I was him, I would take that. I would make that a clause in my contract before I step back on the field that I can't get franchise tagged at the end of the year.
Didn't do it. He didn't. He left the possibility out there, so maybe he's okay. I don't know what the number is off the top of my head, and I'm sure it's still pretty high because that position is skyrocketing, but maybe that's him signaling he's okay with being franchise tagged.
And if he doesn't get franchise tagged, or if he does get franchise tagged and then the Chiefs don't want to pay him, I got to think he's going to be somewhere else next year. The Chiefs don't want to pay this guy long term.
And they've also moved off of guys that want to get paid. They're not shy to trade great players.
Right,
it wouldn't be like unprecedented to see them trade a great player if he wants to get a bigger paycheck than they're willing to give.
Rashad White says Baker Mayfield knew the Vikings' defensive signals. This courtesy of the Buccaneers' YouTube page.
Understanding what they was doing, kind of, you know, we was paying attention to the whole game of their signal calls. And I just remember, like, Bake came in the locker room, like, I mean, literally at halftime. He said, I got it, like. We got all these signals. Like, we in there talking, like, as an office. Like, he's like, I know all these signals. If they do this, they going into cover two. They do this, they going into cover three. Every time I alert this, they drop him, and they do this signal, they drop him back to this. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, that's amazing.
I don't see why Rashad White would be lying about this or exaggerating about this, but I'm saying this in all sincerity. That's one of the most impressive things I've ever heard, if that's true, that Baker Mayfield was able to get the signals that quickly, because this is a brand new defense with the Vikings. It's a new defensive coordinator in Brian Flores, so he's able to get that by halftime in the first 30 minutes. For a guy that is considered to be a really good defensive mind, it's stunning. It's shocking. But clearly there were things that Baker knew, if Rashad's going to say that and go into detail about it too.
And it's not like he was on the Dolphins before and didn't change his signal, so he knows Brian Flores' system. Like, I don't know.
There's no connection.
I don't know if it's just a bad job by the Vikings or they made it obvious. I don't know what it is or telegraphed, but.
And Flores was in Pittsburgh last year, but yep. Baker was already out of the AFC North because he was with the Panthers last year.
And then the Rams, you're right. No real crossover, but still figured it out in 30
wild.
Minutes. Good for Baker.
Now, let me be real here. I'm not optimistic about the Bucs. But if I were to start to get on the Buccaneer pirate ship, it would be based off this answer from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it took us a little bit to adjust, but you try and find every advantage possible to win.
I mean, you keep doing that. You know, you're going to have some folks from the government, you know, pulling into one of those dark vans.
Listen,
trying to get a job.
I know I'm in Tampa, but I'm a Texas Rangers fan, not a Houston Astros fan, so we're not going to condone that.
Look at that. Going after the Astros. I like it.
Brash Baker is back. That's the best Baker. When he is petty, when he is confident, cocky.
When he's douchey.
Let's go. Biggie, you're coming, baby. Fire those cannons.
You got to say it like Gene Deckeroff does.
Fire the cannons.
Let me hear your Gene. Go ahead.
Fire the cannons.
Fire the cannons.
Yours is better than mine.
You think so?
I don't think mine's very good.
Well, you know what? Hold on. Let me like bite my lip a little bit and mumble, because that's what it sounds like with the legendary Gene Deckeroff does it. Fire the cannons.
Passes for me.
Fire the cannons. I love Gene Deckeroff when he says that. Here is Micah Parsons saying Brock Purdy rocking out with this Brock out, looking pretty awesome as a top 15 quarterback. Bleacher Report.
I just don't think that we should sleep on Brock Purdy no more. But Purdy, you will not be slept on no more, brother. I think people are coming for you the same way they come for Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. If we were to rank Purdy right now, I would put Purdy around. I think Purdy's a top 15 quarterback. There's things that we still want to see from Purdy. Not when Purdy's winning, but when Purdy's down. You know, I think the adversity aspect of the football game is huge. Learning how to play from behind, learning situational football. It's not something I'm saying he can't do. It's just something that we just haven't seen yet.
So he brought up the names Rodgers and Mahomes when talking about him. It sounds like he's about to say he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, but then he goes a top 15 quarterback. Which, you know, I don't think that's outrageous to say, especially with what he did at the end of last year and what he did to start off this season. But I thought Micah Parsons was going to be a little bit bolder there and maybe go into the top 10 range.
And the only thing I guess you could argue is sample size for top 10.
Small.
But otherwise, it's, I mean, two touchdown passes in every game he started. And now it's, what, eight games he started? I think if you include playoffs, it's very small. But there's flaw-wise in his game, there's not much you can point to right now.
I think it's now nine because we kind of forget that game up against Philadelphia because he got knocked out of the game. So I think it's nine games that he started. But who's counting? Giannis Antetokounmpo says he will leave the Bucks if there is a team that gives him a better chance to win a championship. 48 minutes on Believe.
As long as we play and we approach the game every single day the right way and we all sacrifice for a common goal, I can see myself being in Milwaukee Bucks for the rest of my career. But the moment I feel like people are not committed as I am to get that golden thing in the back, I am not. You know, I'm a Milwaukee Buck. But most importantly, I'm a winner. I want to win. And I have to do whatever it takes for me to win. And if there's a better situation for me to win the Larry O'Brien, I have to take that better situation.
So you know me. I'm like one of the biggest fans of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm one of the biggest proponents of him staying in Milwaukee. And there was a lot of up and down last time with Giannis where it looked like he wanted to leave, but I just refused to believe it. Maybe I'm just falling for it this time, Hickey, but I think this is as serious as ever of him thinking about leaving the Milwaukee Bucks. And he got so much pushback last year after the horrible first round exit and then him going after the Porter for the whole failure comments and all that. If this year does not result in bare minimum them going to an Eastern Conference Finals, I start to get the sense that we may be seeing the last year or two of Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Milwaukee Bucks.
This is a warning to the new owners. Right, the Haslam's coming on in, owning the Bucks, new ownership, new head coach. They're not all in and serious and doing whatever it takes to put the Bucks in position to win this year or next year. I mean, this is Giannis basically giving them his warning, giving them their chance.
And he's a player option for the 2025-2026 season. So if he rejects that, then he becomes a free agent. But if he accepts it, then he would be a free agent in 2026. And finally, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, and if he's been able to enjoy what he's accomplished so far at Colorado.
I don't have time to enjoy the moment. Sanders don't have time. You know, he got to deliver the gifts. He ain't got time to enjoy his cookies. Okay? That's all he gets. I ain't got time for that. I got to keep it going. I got to keep this machine going. And make sure we stay on the right path and make sure we're locked in and we're focused on the right things. Make sure we're practicing adequately. Make sure we're giving it our all. Making sure we're making the right adjustments and playing the proper personnel. So it's a lot. It's a lot driving this train. It's not easy.
That's Coach Prime. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. That's your news brief.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is a Take 5 Wednesday. So coming up in about 12 minutes or so from now, I'll give you my top 5 teams in college football and also my top 5 teams in the NFL. So I know the Zach Wilson part isn't being lost. But I do think there's one part of the conversation of redemption that can happen as well. Nathaniel Hackett gets a bad reputation, and deservedly so, because of the bleep show that occurred last year in Denver. But Nathaniel Hackett as an offensive coordinator, I do think a lot of people will say, well, what would he be without Aaron Rodgers? And I think a lot of people forget that Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars when Blake Bortles got the Jags to an AFC championship game. I know we could talk about the defense and how wonderful that defense was, but Blake Bortles played really well that season. And he played an AFC championship game where I thought he was good enough, but the coach at the time, Doug Marrone, just didn't trust him and got all conservative in that game. And that was a big reason, plus Tom Brady did Tom Brady things, why the Jacksonville Jaguars did not win that AFC championship game. But Blake Bortles, he has had success under Nathaniel Hackett. So that's why when I look at what the Jets are going to be moving forward for this season, yeah, it's a big year for Robert Saleh. It's a big year for his defense. We know that the success of this football team is going to be based off of running the ball and playing really good defense. But Nathaniel Hackett, who was the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, you know, he had success with Blake Bortles, whether it was a quarterback coach or whether it was an offensive coordinator. And I do think that we need to give Nathaniel Hackett a little bit more credit than where we kind of look at him, Hickey, just because of the disaster that was Nathaniel Hackett a year ago as a head coach.
Yes. I mean, look, 1 year is not going to... It's going to be tough to rebound from 1 year, but you are right. It's been still a lot of good. Now, the question, and maybe we'll find this out this year more than ever, is how much in Green Bay was Aaron Rodgers versus how much was Nathaniel Hackett? And Hackett has a real chance, like I said, especially now with Zach Wilson and where his confidence was and where his play was up until this point in his career, to not only make himself look good without Aaron Rodgers, but resurrect a quarterback who most 95% of people have written off already.
So Nathaniel Hackett was the quarterback coach. He got to Jacksonville in 2015. And working with Blake Bortles in that 2015 season had 35 touchdowns, also had 18 interceptions, but almost had 4,500 yards passing. Then they got to the AFC Championship game in 2017 with Blake Bortles as the quarterback. He was the offensive coordinator. Yeah, I'm just fascinated to see. And I know that you're not thinking the Jets are going to make the playoffs, and I don't think the Jets are going to make the playoffs either. I think they'll be contending. I think they'll have an opportunity to make the postseason, but ultimately the shortcoming at the quarterback position is going to shoot them in the foot, and we're going to see similar things last year where there are games where you go, okay, the Jets should have won that game, but they don't because of Zach Wilson being their quarterback or whoever else they bring in, whether it's Tim Boyle, you know, who's already in the organization. If they go out and they get a Chad Henne, who's retired, but if he comes back into that building, or if it's a Jameis Winston, you know, who else? What are the other names that have been? Mitch Trubisky, whoever the name is. As Hickey rolls his eyes when I say Mitch Trubisky.
He's actually the one guy I've not heard of till you just mentioned it. Like, we've had 2 days now of speculation and thrown every name out of the book. Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. I've not heard Mitch. You talking about you having your stock worse?
Well,
Mitch can't even get mentioned right now for the Jets job.
So I was on with Channing Crowder, Mark Hochman, and Alejandro Solano today on 560 WQAM. I do a weekly spot with them in football season on Wednesdays. And Channing Crowder's like, they have to go get somebody else. And I said, that's fine, Channing, for you to say that. Zach Wilson, though, knows the system. He may have an expiration date on him, but he's the guy for now. It's like, who else do you bring in? And all the names that I keep on hearing, it's not going to be Brady. All right, Phillip Rivers hasn't played in 2 years. Do you want to go bring in Phillip Rivers? Fine, be my guest. Big Ben shot. Drew Brees is shot. Cam shot. Colin Kaepernick hasn't played in 7 years, but everyone throws his name out there just for clicks. It's like, there's not a name that you hear that you go, I have to have that person. You know, if you want to go bring in Jameis Winston, and Jameis Winston can cut out on the turnovers, fine. But Jameis Winston hasn't been able to last as a starter in this league. Like, Marcus Mariota is a backup quarterback for a reason. You know, Gardner Minshew's an okay name, but there's just, like, not a name out there that I gravitate towards and I go, okay, that person has to be there. And I do think for right now, the Jets' best card is to kind of play, it's us against the world, even though they don't even really believe in Zach Wilson, no matter what Robert Saleh says, and just see what you got here with Nathaniel Hackett and Zach Wilson after getting embarrassed because of their own wrongdoing the last year, and see, to take a line from Jason Kelce, if a hungry dog here runs faster and maybe improves a little bit from a year ago, which could be the difference of a 7-win team from a year ago to maybe getting them up to being a 9-win team this year.
The danger, though, is that if he doesn't. If he doesn't play well.
But are any of these guys else that you're going to bring in going to make you to the playoffs this year, realistically?
You know what? Gives you a chance. You never know. Can Matt Ryan, does Matt Ryan have any juice left? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think the juice is worth the squeeze. You may not be able to find anyone. You may be right. Doesn't matter who it is. At least you could say you tried.
But if you're Matt Ryan, do you want to take that job? You have the offensive line stinks. You're an old quarterback who isn't mobile. You're going to get smacked around there. I don't want to take that beating. Sit next to Tiki Barber and Catalan and just call the games.
I mean, look, maybe he wants to. This is his best chance to get back to the playoffs in 5 years. Colts didn't give him a chance.
So
last year.
What are you playing for? Just to get in
to
the wild
your
card
first
round?
Super Bowl and a race 28-3 permanently.
Yeah, you're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. Stop.
Or a race 28-3 permanently, even if you do.
Trust me, that will never get erased. Ever. That's around. Forever. Take five next.
Summer may be over, but the beach is open. Whether you're a longtime Bachelor fan or never seen a single show, this season of Bachelor in Paradise is for you. The premise of the show is pretty straightforward. You've got 20 beautiful singles living on a beach with one goal: to find love. There's sure to be romance, laughter, and complete chaos. Love triangles will form, so will love squares, and even love hexagons. Cause life's a beach, and then you cry, and cry some more. Yes, this season is going to be bananas. But after 8 years of successfully uniting soulmates and marriage and kids, there is still magic in paradise. So only one question remains: who will find love next? Bachelor in Paradise premieres Thursday, September 28th, 9/8 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.